Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Thursday, January the 4th, 2018 at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Your second daily dose of happy for the day. And Wendy, we had a really good start this morning. Joel and I had a fantastic conversation. Really good. So the bar has been set really high. We got to try to do what we can to meet that bar. I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm up for the challenge.
You're up for the challenge. Okay, good, good. Well, we actually have a good topic for the day, too, because we're going to be talking about the fact that, taking advantage of the fact, really, that the East Coast today is being blanketed by snow. In many cases, already there's a half a foot to a foot on the ground and more expected. So people are dealing with weather-related stuff today. So we figured weather-related stuff, that's a good topic. But before we get to that, how about winds? Any good winds going on? I mean, we were kind of talking before the show. It sounded like your day was going really well.
It is. And, you know, if I were to sound like a broken record, it's kind of the same thing as usual. I'm feeling good about what I'm doing. I'm having good time management. My thoughts are in a great place. So, I'm, you know, even though I'm really, really busy and have a lot going on, it feels good. And I'm allowing myself to flow with what my body and my being are kind of guiding me to. Like, you know, I went to bed really early last night. I was so exhausted after my day. And normally I wouldn't let myself go to sleep early. I would, like, make myself do more work because there was more to be done.
But oh, wow.
No, my body wants to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep.
Good.
Well, because I went to sleep early, my body woke up.
Oh.
So probably around 3:45-ish this morning.
Oh, wow.
I noticed my eyes were kind of awake and my brain was thinking about my job. And I thought, you know, this is the advantage of working from home. Why lay in bed toiling away with all these thoughts of things I need to do? I just got up and I started working at 4 a.m. this morning.
Now, some people would say, well, that's the disadvantage of working at home because I don't want to have to wake up in the middle of the night. I want to be able to sleep through. But that's not the way you looked at it. You looked at it like this is a good thing. This is a really good thing.
Well, it makes me feel very free that I had the freedom of choice, that I could have just, like, if I worked in an office, I would have laid in bed still, quote, thinking about my job and, okay, I need to do this and I need to remember to do that. And I don't know that I would have been able to fall back asleep.
Mm.
So the way I look at it, instead of just kind of wasting away those hours where I couldn't work yet, I just was like, I'm just going to get up and start working.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't have to.
No.
But that was the choice. And I've done it a couple times when this has happened. And I got to tell you, I love it because I know everybody else I work with is asleep. We're not yet at work. And so my inbox is quiet. I'm sending stuff out like rapid pace, but I'm not getting any responses, which allows me to just keep going and going and going.
Right.
And by the time, I really expected to go back to sleep. I thought I'd just be up for a couple hours and go back to sleep. But before I knew it, because I normally start at 8, it was like 7:45. And I'm like, okay, no nap now. We'll just keep going. And I did. And so it was a feeling of freedom. Even though I was working, it was a playful kind of freedom because I got to do what felt like the right thing for me.
So are you feeling like you're sleep deprived now because you've been up working so long?
No, because around the noon hour, I got really sleepy, and so I went and took an hour nap.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's
yeah,
not something you can do if you work in the
break.
Office. Yeah. Not too many people in the office can go just take a nap. That's there's a big advantage right there.
I mean, years ago when I worked in an office, if I got really sleepy, I'd go out to my car and take a nap.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I did. Mm-hmm. But it was a whole lot nicer for me to go downstairs, get in the recliner, push it back, and
yes,
close my eyes and put an afghan over me.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, well, at least you could have done it. I couldn't even do that. My height would preclude me from being able to go to the car to go to sleep because I would just be so uncomfortable. But, yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah,
so much nicer
sure
when you're in a recliner. That's a whole lot better, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about you? What kind of wins do you have for the day?
Today's been a good day for me, too. I do the bookkeeping, among other things, for my wife's gardening services business. And the business had another really good year. It's not a really big business by any stretch of the imagination, but it's growing. It's been growing every single year substantially. And this past year was the best one we've had since we got back to Connecticut. We came back in January 2014. So in that time period, you know, we've been really growing very, very well. And I love the fact that I do the bookkeeping with QuickBooks Online and use their payroll service, their what they call their enhanced payroll, and a service that enables me to use them to basically do my tax filings. So what would normally be a very time-consuming, cumbersome job was done in about an hour. Basically, I filed like the Connecticut unemployment tax, the federal unemployment, the federal employer's 941, the let's see, what else is in there? There's like three or four. Oh, the sales tax, Connecticut sales tax. I mean, there are a whole bunch of them. I'm just going click, 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 and they're all getting filed. And there's the employee W-2s. Those have all been queued up to send out, so the employees will be getting those in the next day or two. It's like, wow, this is great. I love this.
That is, I used to do payroll for my company when I had a costume manufacturing company. And, you know, those were the days of doing everything longhand with pencil.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
I've not done
wow.
that. Oh, it's so much nicer to do it this way, because I've done it the other way, too. And I don't like it. My wife will tell you that's when my stress levels are highest. That's when I'm the most grumpy. That's when I'm the most miserable to be around. So to have this is like, oh, it's a major, major stress reliever. Oh, in a big way. So I had a good day.
That's a great, great accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how good that feels. And here it is, only January 4th. And if you got that behind you instead of in front of you, whew,
oh, yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, there are a couple things that still have to be done. I mean, like our personal quarterly taxes, those still have to go in. But that's not too difficult to do. And I have to make sure that they all get processed through QuickBooks like they're supposed to so that deadlines get hit. But we're not talking about any major amount of work. It's like, you know, check the email to see what came through today. That's about it.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. Yay. It feels good. This is one of the few times I've actually felt good about being the bookkeeper.
Well, and of course, today, because of the weather in your area, you are hunkered down and weren't going to go
Perfect
anywhere.
Day.
So it kind of makes it
oh,
all the
yeah.
better.
Absolutely the best day to do it. I mean, for those who aren't on the East Coast, there's a big snowstorm hitting the coast right now from roughly the Virginia area on up to Maine. And certain areas are getting, I mean, most of the coastal areas have a lot of snow right now. We've got about a half a foot. There are people I know in New Jersey who have a foot. Maine especially is getting hammered this time. The coast near Rhode Island and Cape Cod, they're expecting to get at least a foot and a half of snow. So there's a lot of snow going on. And a lot of people who are staying in, part of the reasons I wanted to talk about this topic today was because there are people who have to work today and they're having to deal with the travel, they're having to deal with the stress and so on and so forth. So this is a good day to talk about how to deal with extreme weather because, you know, well, this is a drive time show. That's what the impetus is for doing it at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And even though most of our listeners listen after the fact, after, you know, it's been recorded and so forth, nevertheless, we want to get into the mode of being a drive time show. So, okay, let's deal mm-hmm. with the drive time of having to, you know, drive in blizzard conditions because that's what's happening out there right now. The blizzard conditions, for those who don't know it, is where it's snowing heavily. I think it's like at least 2 inches an hour. And 35 mile per hour winds, which basically means whiteout. You really can't see much of anything. Not the mm-hmm. safest way to drive, as you probably know. You came from Chicago. You know yeah. a little bit about snow.
Yeah, I learned how to drive in March, which is the worst, you know, one of the icky, slushy, snowy, rainy, everything weather times.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I remember very well.
Yeah, that's where you're dealing with not just lake effect snow, but lake effect wind and all that other stuff. I mean, they call Chicago the Windy City for a reason. And you probably yeah. notice it the most in March, I would think.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was going to college, I was going to fashion school. I was in downtown Chicago. That's where the college was.
Mm-hmm.
And we were right on Lakeshore Drive, and the corner of our building was at the corner of an intersection. And I remember looking out. We were on the fifth floor. I remember looking out of the building, and it was one of those wintry, windy days. And like you said, they call it the Windy City for a reason.
Right.
There was a big Walgreens right across the street from us, and they had this giant picture window. I mean, it was like probably 15 feet long.
Wow.
You know, and just, you know, a story and a half high. It was just really huge. And the first thing I noticed is that the people, as they were walking like they were at a right angle.
Mm.
They were bent at the waist and almost completely looking at the ground.
Right.
In order to keep from being blown. I don't know if you can picture that visually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But They were walking into the wind with their heads all the way down, and I just remember seeing all these people like at right angles, and I went, this is weird. And then the wind obviously had to be so gusty that I watched that giant glass window I just told you about literally just shatter.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it went in, and nobody fortunately was hurt.
Good.
But I remember staring at it going, oh, my God, did I just see what I
yeah,
saw?
Yeah, right, yeah.
And that, I would say, that was probably a block off of the lake. So, yeah, the Windy City off the lake is a big deal. It's
oh,
real.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a lot of reasons to feel stress during major weather events because there are fears associated with them. Now, the reality is most people come through most weather events without a scratch, and the number of people
True.
Who are adversely affected is small. But nevertheless, the fear factor can be really large. In fact, Joel and I were talking just this morning about how weather people go out of their way to make weather sound scary. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah, I do. Big time I noticed that.
In fact, there was one, I don't think it was a forecast. I think it was an interview with one of the CEOs of one of the top weather companies. I don't know if it was weather.com or AccuWeather or who it was. But the CEO, or maybe it was a marketing director, was complaining that there hadn't been any major weather events lately and that they needed to have some or they were going to go out of business.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, well, first of all, I don't think they're going to go out of business. I mean, this is clearly an overreaction. And it's also a really strong indicator of how the weather sources have a huge personal investment in big weather events. They actually believe that their business life depends on major catastrophes happening. I'm thinking, this is not a good, healthy thing. I mean, we have plenty of negative stuff in our society. The last thing we need to do is to poison the minds of people that, oh, every weather event that comes along is a catastrophe. It's all going to be terrible.
Well, but you know, if you think about it, there are a number of companies that are built around disasters. And I suppose if there aren't enough disasters to keep them in business, their doors would have to close.
Well, it would probably be good to close the doors and replace them with somebody who doesn't think that their entire business has to revolve around disasters. Because you really don't have
to.
It's not like all weather is bad. Most weather actually is pretty good, in case you hadn't noticed. I mean, the fact is, go ahead.
Depending on your point of view and or your age and or whether you have to be out in it or not, you could have very different points of view. Because when I was a little kid and it snowed so hard in Chicago that we had a snow day, it meant schools were closed.
That's true.
And me and all the other kids on my block, we were outside building igloos, building snowmen, having fun. I'd come into the house, my clothes were soaked, it would be time to like change my clothes and go back outside again, and those were fun days. Now, I don't think my dad thought it was so fun because he had to drive to work in it, but, if you're a kid, snow is a blast.
Well, if you're a kid, if you're the mom who's dressing up the kids, it's not always a blast because especially if they're really small kids, and it's especially if it was like 40 or 50 years ago where they had, all these accoutrements for kids to go outside. Fortunately, the stuff that kids wear today is a whole lot easier to put on. But back then, I mean, it could take you a half an hour to get dressed, and then just as you're ready to go outside, is, Mommy, I got to go to the bathroom.
It really depends on who you are and where you are and what you're doing and what your mindset is. It could be a wonderful experience, or if you focus on some stuff that doesn't make you feel good, it could be a really ugly and not fun experience at all.
And that's what we need to talk about today, because even the worst event does not have to be a bad experience. And very rarely is it the worst event. Very rarely what we're told is going to be the worst is it really actually that bad. I mean, most of them is just, there's another snowstorm. Okay, another foot. We can deal with that. But you could also look at it like, oh, my God, when is the snow going to stop? I'm so tired of it. My wife has a different take on it. She likes to cross-country ski. So we'll go out after this storm today. I guarantee we're going to take a walk most likely tonight. And we're going to just do like a walk in the winter wonderland. And she's going to be skipping. Mm. She will be skipping in the snow. I'm not kidding. She will skip.
Mm.
Yeah. And she'll probably sing some little song that's winter related. And if there's anybody around, they'll either smile because they see that we're looking at them, or they'll give us this quizzical look as we go by, depending on whether we see them, you know. But it just goes to prove it's all the way you decide to feel about it.
I agree. The other day we had our first freeze, and so here in Texas you put these styrofoam caps over your faucet so that the faucet doesn't freeze.
Okay.
And I was in a long nightshirt, and I didn't feel like getting dressed. And so I put on, I have a long wool coat that goes, you know, like mid-calf, and I put it on over me so that, you know, nobody could tell I was not dressed. And I put on my mittens, and I just went outside and I did what I had to do. And when I came in, I thought, I love the brisk cold. It feels so fresh. I mean, it just felt good to breathe in the cold air and then to walk in the warm house. That was lovely. And then I went, I want to do something else. So I went, my sprinklers are still outside. So I hauled them out to my shed. And, you know, it gave me another opportunity to go outside in the cold.
So because the,
so
you look at it as a good thing.
I like cold.
Yeah, you looked at it as a good thing. And so what could have been a very tedious and you know, awful task that could have lasted forever turned into something that was fun, and you probably got it done in less than 15 minutes would be my guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely less than that. But it was great. It actually was great to have a reason to have to go outside, because somehow just to go stand outside in the cold, that kind of seems dull.
Yeah, you need to actually move around, get the blood going.
Exactly. Like, I even was having fun the other day. I'm like, ooh, I want to go get the trash cans and pull them in because, you know, it gives me another reason to go outside and be in the cold and, you know, just be in the air where it just feels so fresh. I don't know what it is about cold air that feels fresh to me, but I don't like humidity, and so the hot air doesn't ever feel fresh to me because it's just always loaded with humidity, but the cool, dry air always feels great.
Joel pointed out something to me today that was really interesting where cold weather is concerned. He says he would rather be outside in 9-degree temperatures with no wind than to be outside in 40-degree temperatures with a driving wind.
Okay.
And his reason is when the wind is that hard, even though the temperature is higher, it cuts right through you. Whereas when you're out in the really cold temperature but there's no wind, it doesn't feel like it's that cold.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
So again, it depends how you look at it. Now, for our friends who have to drive in driving snow or something like that, they have a more difficult task to deal with. And I did want to take a moment to address that because you and I have both dealt with that. We both have grown up in areas that you get lots of snow. You have to learn how to drive in it. You have to learn how to navigate the ice and so on and so forth. And I had shared a story at Christmas that I just wanted to reiterate for those who didn't hear it. Because Christmas Eve, my wife and I went to Rhode Island to spend Christmas Eve with her brother and her brother's family. And we decided that we usually do that each year. Most times we go and we stay there late, and then we're driving home, you know, really late at night, Christmas Eve, which is not really what we want to be doing. We're tired. You know, it's like 11, 12 o'clock at night. You don't really want to be out on the road during that time. So we said, well, this year, let's just take a motel room. You know, we'll go for Christmas Eve, we'll have a great Christmas Eve celebration, and then instead of having to drive home, we can actually stay late, we can talk till all hours, and then just go to the motel room, crash, wake up the next morning, and drive home Christmas morning. No big deal. I mean, it's not like we have kids, so we don't have to wait, you know, be there with the kids to, you know, welcome Santa's presents under the tree. We don't have to deal with that, so why not? Let's do that. So that's what we did, and Louise, as I mentioned, is somebody who loves snow. She really loves it. Up until Christmas Eve, we didn't have any snow on the ground. We had some previously in December, but it had kind of melted away by around the 20th or so. And she was saying, I really want snow for Christmas. I want a white Christmas. So she started putting it out there, using the law of attraction to attract a white Christmas. Now, she did make one small mistake. She forgot to specify when. And the bottom line is that we did get the snow on Christmas, but it started coming down in the early part of our drive home. So 15 minutes out of Cranston, Rhode Island, heading into Connecticut, we were in the middle of a near blizzard trying to drive through it. I mean, visibility was down to 50 feet at one point for about a 10-minute piece of time, it was down to about 10 to 20 feet. You literally couldn't see anything except for maybe a car length ahead. That was about it. So you're doing like 10, 15 miles an hour maximum. And, you're just driving really carefully and so forth. And Louise was starting to get a little bit frantic, saying, well, I wonder if we should just turn around and go back. We could stay with my brother or something. I said, no, absolutely not. This is going to clear up. Now, that was partly because I looked at the weather map and had a pretty good idea of where the weather was going. It was also partly my experience driving in the snow. I do not fear driving in snow. I could tell you some great stories. I bet you could, too, because you grew up in Chicago. But I have no fear of driving in snow whatsoever. And even if the visibility is low, you know,
but while you are driving, Walt, what are you saying to yourself, or what's your internal dialogue? What are you focused on?
The only thing I ever worry about, because I'm so confident in my driving ability in snow, the only thing I ever worry about, and worry in quotes, just to say that it's there, not that I'm actually going, oh my God, I can't believe it. More like just be aware of it, that kind of worry. The only thing I worry about is the other drivers, because I know most drivers do not know how to handle snow conditions. So I'm more concerned about them, slamming into me because they don't know what the heck they're doing. Not with me going off the road. I know how to handle it. I just don't trust that they necessarily know how to handle it. So in conditions like that, I'm just keeping my eyes peeled for, are there any other cars that are clearly evidencing the fact that they don't know what they're doing? And the one thing I do say to people who are dealing with driving in really bad conditions like that, if you are somebody who does not know how to handle snow well, I thoroughly recommend wait an hour. If you're in the middle of a bad situation like that, don't get in the car, for God's sake. Go find a coffee shop. Go find a sports bar. Go find anything and just wait it out for an hour. I mean, even the worst conditions rarely last 5 or 6 hours. They usually only last an hour, maybe two. That's where the really bad part of the storms are. The rest of it, you can deal with. But if you don't handle that stuff really well, stay off the road for a while. What's the worst that happens? You arrive home an hour late. Who cares? The main thing is you arrive home without the stress. So that's the first thing I suggest.
But you know what? Like when I was younger, every dollar I made a difference in my budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember in my 20s when I was in Texas by then, and we don't get snowstorms. We get sleet storms.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really miserable, and they're very dangerous. And
sure.
I'm a really, really careful and good driver, but it doesn't matter what your skills are when your tires end up on sleet. They just go where they want to go. And so in my 20s, it was really nerve-wracking because I made myself go to work. I could have stayed home. My company, I don't think, required me to go in, but I felt like if I lost a day's wages, that would put me behind in my budget, and that could be dire, at least how I was looking at it. So I did drive out in the ice and the snow and whatnot, and fortunately, I never did get in an accident. And fortunately, many smart people did stay home, and so the roads were not quite so, busy. But I know that over the years when I've had to be out in the inclement weather, because even here when we get a downpour, it's a downpour where you have almost zero visibility and your windshield wipers like can't even keep up with the rain. And I kind of tended to be more of a worrywart when I'd be out on the road. And so I eventually developed kind of my own practice of repeating a mantra over and over. And I might change it while I'm driving, but it might be, I'm safe, all is well, I'm protected, God cares about me.
Oh, that's good.
And I would just say it over and over because by doing that, it gave me something better to focus on.
Yeah.
And even though in a sense I was still focusing on the fear factor by saying, God will take care of me or I'll be protected, it still put me in a better state.
Sure.
And now, because of who I've become, if I all of a sudden I'm driving and boom, a downpour occurs and I can't get off the road because there's just no place to get off the road, I will just remind myself, everything always works out for me. I'm always protected. I have a legion of non-physical entities that care about me and they're protecting me. And I know that I've even had occasions, now this was not weather related, but it was traffic related, I had something happen a couple months ago where, I was on a frontage road, and it was during rush hour, And there was a car that I barely saw coming on my left side who wanted to just go in front of me and cross to the lane on the other side of me.
I had one of those during the storm on Christmas, actually.
Yeah, I saw it coming, but not really with the kind of timing that, like, you could do anything about it.
Right.
And I don't even know what I did with my brake or my accelerator, but whatever it was, there was, like, split-second, perfect synchronicity of timing. And it felt as though, and this is the image I got, it felt as though I had bumper pads put all around four sides of my car. And as far as I know, and who knows if this is what I believe, is that there was protection set around me by non-physical beings that literally put bumpers on all sides so that he couldn't even scrape my car.
Yeah, I believe that.
And
sure.
Simultaneously gave me the wherewithal to do what I need, because I know that I kind of moved my car to the right, and I also know that I think I changed my speed. And then once it happened, it's like it happened, and I forgot about it. Because it's not, I don't dwell on those things.
Right.
Because in the past, I would have dwelled on, like, oh my God, I could have died, or he could have hit me, or who knows what would have happened. I don't even go there anymore. Because that's how much I know I'm always cared for and protected. Now,
well,
I didn't just get there overnight. This has been a growing awareness and a growing sense of trust between me and the universe.
Right.
But, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I stay home when at all possible, but when I go out, I know I'm being taken care of.
And, you know, as you started to tell that story, I realized that that was really the essence of your original question, and I didn't really answer that. And the reason I didn't answer it is I'm just so supremely confident as a driver. I'm not aggressive necessarily, but I'm so confident in my ability that I really don't worry about getting hit. I mean, I mentioned, you know, paying attention to the other drivers just because that's my one concern, but it's a really mild concern. And I just always believe everything's going to come out okay. But I believe that subconsciously. I think I believe that all of my life because I always had good experiences. I learned to drive in snow from, you know, the first day practically that I started to drive. And I remember the first winter that I was driving, my mom took me over to the parking lot of a supermarket and said, okay, let's do some turns, let's do some stops, just so you can get a feel of what it's like to start and stop in the snow. It was like about 6 inches on the ground, and so we just did, you know, turns and stops and slides and all that kind of thing, and it only took about 3 or 4 minutes for me to get a feel for, oh, this is how you do it. And from that point on, I just had all kinds of confidence. In fact,
wow.
I'll tell you a story. This is one of my favorite stories to tell that's weather-related. When I was in school, I attended a very small school in upstate New York called Colgate University. Yes, related to the toothpaste, the same family, just a different side of the family. And there was one year where I came home for the holidays, and on my way back, I brought two young ladies with me who were also students at the school who wanted rides back. And I don't remember exactly how it happened, but somehow we got off our main route and ended up on a really back road route. And at one point, we're coming over a hill. This is kind of a fairly hilly area. It's not mountainous. It's not like the West, but it's hilly. And there was this one hill we came to, and it was clear it had snowed there and had not been cleared. And as we got to the top of the hill, I realized the sun had been kind of baking it, and the snow had turned to ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't slow down in time to stop going down that hill. So we're going down the hill, and at the bottom of the hill is a curve with trees beyond them. And if I can't navigate that curve, we're going into the trees.
Okay, so if this was a movie, you would see that visual, and then a commercial break would happen.
That's
while
right.
You'd be in a state of suspense.
So if you're enjoying this program, please share it with your friends because we're trying to get more and more people to listen. So you'll put it on social media. You're listening to LOA Today.
Yeah, it's time for a commercial break. As I'm sitting on pins and needles, what's
going to
happen?
So anyway, we're going down the hill. My passengers are really panicking. They're starting to say stuff and so forth. And I'm not panicking at all because I know there's snow somewhere here. I can see the snow. I'm just trying to figure out how to use it. And the reason I know that I want to use the snow is you can drive in snow. People get all
right.
freaked out about driving in snow. You can drive in snow. You can even drive in sleet. The only thing you can't drive on is ice with water on it. There's no traction there. And the middle of this road was kind of like that. There wasn't a whole lot of traction there. There was some. I had a little maneuverability, but not a whole lot. And I looked and I said, well, the only snow is that this had at one time been plowed, and there was, sure enough, a snow drift along the side of the road, right? Hmm. So I just edged my car over there until my right tires were on that snow drift. Now, it was a rough ride, but it gave me traction. And I was able to ride that snow drift all the way around the curve. When I got around the curve, my passengers, if they could have stood up, they would have given me a standing ovation. They were so thrilled. There was never a doubt, Wendy. There was never a doubt in my mind. There was doubts in their minds, but there was never a doubt in my mind that I was going to get through that, because I knew I had some place to go to put my tires where I could get traction. And that's the key to surviving in weather. You just have to know there's always a way. The only time you have no control at all is if you have just glare ice everywhere that you could possibly see and there is no traction anywhere. And you're right. In that condition, you shouldn't be out on the road. And second of all, there's nothing you can do. You're just going to slide into something. But how often does that happen? Well, never to me. And I've driven in a lot of winter weather.
This is a great LOA moment, because you just depicted that you had such a level of certainty, that you had such absolute knowing that snow could give you the traction that you required, and to give you both control of your vehicle and to slow it down. And so you focused on finding the snow.
Yeah. Most people would not focus on that, but that's what I focused on.
But you were so focused on it that you found it. And then it brought you into the level of control. Like you said, bumpy ride, who cares? But the point is, you had a level of control.
Right.
But what I loved about your story was how you had such incredible focus.
Yes.
And you had such incredible belief in your ability to drive, and all you needed was snow in order to help the traction piece.
Exactly.
So it's like you had all the pieces and parts already inside of you.
Right.
And so when you had this circumstance, you're like, oh, yeah, I know what to do. No biggie.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But and I guarantee you, your passengers
They had no idea.
Didn't have those same belief systems.
Not
they didn't
at all.
Have that same skill set, et cetera, et cetera.
And I've had a lot of situations where I had passengers who were blown away by what I was able to do in the snow. I mean, I remember a number of times. I remember one time that I was playing in a rock and roll band, and we had a gig. And on the day of the gig, there was a snowstorm. And when we called in about it, they said, no, the gig is still on. Now, the gig was in the Hartford area. At the time, we were about 120 miles away from there. So we got on the highway. We got all of our stuff in the trunks of our cars and so forth. And we're driving along, and we get to the gig. And, it's been canceled. And it's the middle of a driving snowstorm, and snow is piling up like crazy, and they're announcing that they're closing the highway. And so it's like, well, now what do? We're in Hartford. we don't live here. Well, one of the guys in the band had gone to school nearby, one of the schools nearby, and it was like, 10 minutes away. So, 10 minutes in a clear road, 20 minutes under those conditions. So, okay, we'll go over there. And we divided up into two vehicles. We left one vehicle behind with all the equipment parked in a safe place. And then the two vehicles took off. One vehicle ended up going a separate route, and I'm not sure exactly what happened to them on the way. But we went through city streets to get to the location. It was a school where there was a dorm room, and we could, flop out on the floor of the dorm room and survive the night. Well, I was driving an old Ford Maverick from like the 1970s. And for those who don't know the Maverick series, Mavericks are not known for their power. They're not known for being, flashy sports cars. They're actually pretty blah, mundane cars. But they're actually really good for driving in snow because they don't have any torque. And that's what you want in snow. You don't want an engine that has lots of torque. You want low torque because that way you can easily accelerate without spinning your wheels out. So I'm driving in this car, and we're going through the city where the college is. We're working our way through the back streets. And we come to this one street. And you know the kind of street where you have the street's broken into two lanes and there's like an island down the middle? You know that kind of street? Well, it was one of those streets, and that street had been plowed, but the street we were on had not been plowed, and so there was a snowdrift right across the intersection. And the snowdrift was high enough, both at the beginning of the intersection and in the middle where you know the divider was and there was the path going through the divider, that part was probably about a foot deep. And on top of that, there was a car that had pulled up coming the other direction toward us and had stopped at the stop sign on the other side. And as I'm approaching this, I'm realizing I can't let the car stop because there was so much snow there. If I let it stop, I probably would not have been able to get it going again. I had to keep the wheels going. That's a basic rule of thumb, right? You have to keep the wheels going without spinning them. So I'm coming up on this. I'm kind of sneaking up on the intersection, looking in both directions, and it's clear in both directions. The only obstacle I have is that other car on the other side of the intersection stopped at the stop sign. And I know he's not going anywhere because there was no way you're going to go anywhere if you stopped in that snow. So I evaluated the situation, and I turned to my friends who were in the car. I said, okay, hang on. This is going to be a little scary, but I promise you it's going to be okay. Because I knew as I went through that first snowdrift, my car was going to slide to the side. That was just the nature of it. You hit the thing, and it was going to knock you off course a little bit, so you'd have to correct it and get you back on course. I also knew that the two lanes of that cross street had been plowed. So I had snowdrift, clear, snowdrift, snow, snowdrift, clear, snowdrift. So I had two clear sections there. So I plowed through the first snowdrift, sent the car into a bit of a slide. I corrected using the pavement that I had, but I was going hard enough that I could get through the second snowdrift, which is where the divider was, plowed through that snow. Snow's flying in all directions, but I could feel where the car is. I get to the second divided part of the road. I know I'm waiting for the tires to hit. You know, real pavement. I feel the pavement. I swerve the car around so that it fishtails back the other way, and we went right down the road past the car that was parked there. And the people in the car said, how the heck did you do that? How did you do that? How did we not hit that car? I mean, the car actually fishtailed.
I'll tell you what I'm hearing.
What?
That this was fun for you.
There was an element of fun in it. Yeah.
You were able to put your skills to the test, not because you were testing yourself.
No.
But you don't get that opportunity that often. And it was something that I think made you feel very alive. That's how it feels to me.
It did.
And this was kind of exciting to you. Now, your passengers literally went for the ride, but you were in control the whole time.
I was. Yeah, and you know, I wasn't taking undue risks. I wasn't just throwing the car someplace and just hoping it was going to come out okay. I knew what I was going to do every inch of the way on that little path there. My passengers didn't. I didn't have the time to explain it to them, but I knew exactly what I was going to do. So it wasn't like I was taking major risks.
It's obvious that you knew what was up by saying, and there was a drift, and there was an opening, and this car was. It's like you could see 360. You saw far enough ahead. You knew what was up. But again, another LOA moment.
Yeah.
You had such clarity.
Exactly. The clarity was huge.
You were in alignment with your car, with the elements, I believe with all spiritual, you know, entities. It's like it was all systems go for you.
It was.
And
yeah.
You know how we've talked many times how when you desire something and there's no doubt, no fear, no resistance whatsoever, it's like you get instant manifestation.
Exactly.
Well, that's the state you were in.
Absolutely,
you
yes.
You had no fear. You had no doubt. You had no concern. You had no worry. Maybe your passengers did, but that was not enough to, like, even influence you in the slightest because you're like, watch this happen. This is good. I know what to do. This is fun. I'm prepared for this.
In modern parlance, I had it.
You did.
I got it.
So, you know, if you think about that energy, and like anybody who's listening to us, you know, if you think about Walt's story and the level of certainty, that's my favorite word, but that's what it sounded. You so had it. You so knew that this was so doable
mm-hmm.
and that there was no downside. You knew you had it all upside.
Oh, yeah. My confidence was through the roof.
We're
yeah.
in any place in our life that we have that level of internal knowingness. You know, we're absolutely going to manifest something. Good things will continue to happen. I mean, that's the state of mind that you were in is kind of like the nirvana state of mind that I think we all wish that we were in most of the time.
Well, it's like the state of mind that a sports figure uses when they're in the zone, as they call it. When they're in the zone, everything works beautifully. Every shot goes in, you know, every run works out perfectly. Everything plays out just the way it's supposed to play out when they're in the zone. I mean, hitters go on long hitting streaks. Football players can't be tackled. Soccer players, they can't be stopped. I mean, when you're a track runner, you run your fastest times when you're in the zone. I mean, it just applies in every sports metaphor you can think of. That in the zone.
Ultimate alignment.
That's the vortex.
Ultimate alignment. Mm-hmm.
That is the vortex right there. And you're right, it is fun. It's fun to be in that place. It feels good.
It is very fun. I mean, in a way you feel invincible, but not like in a crazy way like you're going to go off Evel Knievel and jump, you know, caverns with your motorcycle.
Well, first of all, that's not me. That's not who I am anyway. I wouldn't do that.
But everything in that scenario was within your skill set, so doable, and I don't know what had transpired over the many years to put your mindset in that place where you felt that level of control and comfort. You know, even when your vehicle is out of control, you still felt in control.
It was out of control. It slid. You can slide and not be out of control. That's the thing to understand, because your tires do slide. It's not like my tires never slide. They do. The question is, am I in control? Have I anticipated what I need to do in order to contain that slide? And do I know what steps I'm going to take? As long as I do, I'm still in control. It's really
but
no
even
different.
That alone is an incredible mindset, because for most people, when their car slides, it feels out of control. And see, you corrected me. I said it was out of control, and you said, oh, no, I'm in control.
Right.
I mean, that's how one direction you were for this whole story. It's like you knew you had it.
Well, is it any different from our emotional set point when trying to use the law of attraction? I mean, literally, how much control do we actually have over the events that lead to whatever it is we're trying to attract showing up? Nil. But we have plenty of control over our emotional set point. If we can get our emotional set point into a happy range where we're feeling confident and good, that's when everything shows up that needs to show up. It's only when we stay in the bad place that it doesn't show up. Now, how much control is that? Well, it's not preventing all the events from happening in a way you wouldn't want them to, but it does get the events to lead to the conclusion you want. And if you're in a happy position, it leads to a conclusion you want in a happy way, in a good way. I'd say that's control.
Okay.
I mean, Abraham calls
and
that control.
Well, and I'm thinking you have this sweet spot of this story that any time you're in a place in your life where you're not feeling like you're really confident,
mm-hmm.
I think you can look on this and go, well, I know that I do have confidence within me.
Yeah.
So,
it's
you
a good
know,
point.
Is what I want.
I've had plenty of times.
I want more of this in this other area of my life.
Right.
You know, and it can be mapped over. Sometimes with nothing more than just awareness of that.
I've had plenty of times where I doubted my ability to control my mood and thereby control what was coming into my life. Early on especially, but even in recent years I've had that. So you're right, I'm going to remember this one because this does clearly illustrate that I do have control. Even when I don't seem to have immediate control over the wheels, so to speak, I'm still in control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're right, that's a good thing to remember. I will try to remember that.
Your mindset is really, really powerful.
It is.
And so since we're talking about weather, I have a fun one.
Okay.
This was, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. For the very first time, I was meditating. And I actually use technology. It's called HoloSync technology, but it's a type of meditation. And for me, because traditional meditation just didn't seem to cut it for me, I was using this electronic stuff where I put on stereo headsets and I listen to this particular type of sound wave that actually creates a meditative state in my mind. So I'm on day 2.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like such a beginner. I'm on day 2 of this, and I took a break during the middle of my day, and I called it my lunch hour, and I sat in my cushy chair, and I sat upright, and I had my headsets on, and I have my eyes closed, and, you know, I'm letting just the waves of peacefulness go through me, right?
Okay.
So I knew that that particular day we were having all sorts of inclement weather going on outside of me, but I was really oblivious to it because I had my headsets on and I wasn't looking out the window. And so I'm maybe about 50 minutes into my one-hour meditation, and the phone rings, and it's my mother-in-law. And she says, "Wendy, the tornado is heading your way. Take cover." And she hangs up. Now, I was meditating on the second floor of my house in my bedroom, and I was in such a peaceful state that even her very frantic phone call did not rile me up.
Wow.
And I know that when tornado conditions happen, you're supposed to go to a room where there's no windows in the lowest part of your house.
Right.
But I didn't do that. Instead, what you're not supposed to do is look out your window. You shouldn't be anywhere near windows. So in my bedroom, I have these two big windows, and what do? I walk right up to them, and I look out the windows, and I've never seen a tornado before until that day.
Wow.
And I saw the tornado just slightly to my left, but kind of coming my direction. And in this very calm, peaceful state where I could not be riled up at all, I looked at the tornado and I asked my inner being, is there something I can do? And I didn't necessarily get an answer like do the following, but here is what I did, and I know this is what I was guided to do. I looked at the tornado and I started to talk to it. And in Wendy words, I said, slow your roll.
Okay.
And my left hand was actually like making a circular motion, and I started out fast, and I was slow, like I was trying to put a pace to the tornado. And I just kept saying, tornado, slow your roll and move to the left. Now, the tornado doesn't know left, right, or whatever, but I knew with my intention which direction, because it would take it away from our subdivision.
Right.
And I just kept saying, like a mantra, over and over, slow your roll and move that way. Slow your roll and move that way. And I watched the tornado slow its roll, and it moved in this direction that I was pointing. And I just watched it until it was no longer within my visual range.
Wow.
And the whole time, I don't know if that took 10 minutes or if it took 2 seconds. I really have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed in this very peaceful, calm state with a complete confidence, like you did in the snow. I had this complete sense of all is well. I am safe. I had no reason to even be concerned. I knew that the intention that I had was to protect my entire neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 800 homes in our subdivision, and the intention was to protect us all. I had kind of laid out my energetic cloak over my whole neighborhood. And as, you know, we found out many hours later, because we had lost electricity, we lost power, lost phone, had no communication, no cell towers, you know. So many hours later when I learned what happened, where the tornado did hit was at a gas station, like a truck stop. And no, I'm not happy that the truck stop got hit, but nobody died. There was no serious injury. There was just physical damage to that truck stop. But it literally jumped over my neighborhood, over the highway, and that's where it landed.
Wow. Yeah.
And that, to me, was one of the most, if you will, exciting personal adventures I've ever been on.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. In fact, there are going to be people who will say, well, law of attraction, that's all great, but you can't control the weather. And your story illustrates that you can control the weather. You can at least influence it. And I can tell you a whole bunch of stories where I've influenced weather. So I know for a fact you can influence weather. I mean, your story doesn't surprise me even slightly. I think it's cool. I think it's a great story. I love the way you slow the spin of it and, you know, slow your roll and all that. I love that. That was great. In fact, it gives me some ideas of what to do in my own situations. It made me also think of a situation where, again, we were in Virginia, same kind of thing. It wasn't a tornado, but it was a microburst, which is kind of like a mini version of a tornado coming right at our house. And I got wind of it. I got wind of it 5 minutes before it got there. And Louise and I had previously influenced weather before, so it was not a new thing for us. And I said, Louise, there's a pretty bad storm coming right at us. It's going to be here in about 5 minutes. We need to do our thing right now. So we did our thing. I'll describe in a minute what the thing is. And then I walked outside because I wanted to see what the result was, because we never tried it with that little buffer, you know, that with only like 5 minutes to go. So I wanted to see what was going to happen, which is, again, like you said, it's what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to go outside in the middle of the storm, right? I'm not a storm chaser. It's the last thing I really had ever thought about doing. But I was so curious. And I walked outside, and I could see, I was looking on, the property we were on was like a 1 acre property. It was a house. And as I'm looking up at the trees that surround the property, I could see our trees were kind of gently waving, but I could also see the trees off in the distance, and they were flying all over the place. But the trees immediately in our yard were just kind of just gently waving a little tiny bit, like, you know, 5 to 10 mile per hour breeze. Now, the rest of the neighborhood was experiencing 40 to 50 mile per hour winds. And I stood and watched as the storm literally passed overhead, skipping our house and the immediate neighborhood around us. And after that storm, not only did we not lose power, almost everybody else around us lost power, but when we took a little drive around the greater neighborhood, there were trees down, there were branches down, there was stuff down all over the place, there was a little shack that had fallen over. I mean, there was all this damage except within about three houses of our house. Everything within three houses of our house was pristine. So I know exactly what you mean, because I've done it too.
Well, and you know the thing that, like, my experience with the tornado that made it so profound was the contrast that occurred after.
Mm.
Because, like I said, because, you know, I had lost all media communication because the electricity was out, et cetera, and it was still raining outside, so I had no place I had to go, and I went, okay, and I had even, like, gone to my laptop and told my coworkers that work all over the United States, this just happened, tornado in the area, electricity out, I have very little battery left in my laptop, see you later, don't know when I'll be back. And so, in essence, I signed off, and I'm like, I'm going to go continue my meditation, this feels great. And after that, I took a nap.
Oh, wow.
And so it was maybe three hours later, somebody comes to my door, and I hear the doorbell, and it was my mother-in-law, bless her heart. She wanted to make sure that I was okay. And I said, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. And so she left. And now it's like, it's funny because she triggered the whole thing, and she untriggered it, if you will, because she brought me to the end of now my tornado experience.
Right.
And I go out into the world, kind of like you did, where I, like, went seeking in my car, it wasn't raining anymore, for, like, cell service. And, like, the next town over, everything was connected and light. And what was fascinating is I start looking at my phone, and, oh, my gosh, my phone has been blowing up with text messages and people calling, checking on me, are you okay, are you okay? And now eventually my electricity comes back on, and I'm watching the news. And what I and here's the contrast, Walt. I recognize the rest of my community, it appeared, was in a state of chaos.
Mm.
And the contrast was so stark. I literally can feel it now as I'm talking. The contrast was so stark because I was in this beautiful state. I would call it bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And like I had mentioned to you, like, you know what it felt like when you were going through the snow and the drifts and whatever, and you had such an excellent control of your vehicle.
Right.
Use that as a marker whenever you want to recreate that kind of feeling for
right.
some other part of your life.
Yep.
All I have to do is remember the tornado and standing in front of the window and talking to the tornado. That recreates for me that feeling of bliss.
Mm.
And like any time I want, that's available to me because it was such a big, profound experience. All I have to do is think on it and I can call in that feeling. And it wouldn't have been so profound if I didn't have the stark contrast of several hours later recognizing the rest of my community was in a chaotic state.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, even my mother-in-law's voice was, you know, frenzied when she called, like, take cover, the tornado's coming our way, because she lives like 2 miles away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even at the door, she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And it's like, yes. And then I knew she was leaving to go check on other people.
Right.
But there was such a chaotic energy except for in me. Almost like I could tell when she looked at me like, what is wrong with you, Wendy, that you're not a little bit more riled up?
That's right. Exactly.
But it was a blissful experience, and I'm so grateful for having it.
And I want to remind people, we're not these events that we're describing are obviously very extreme events. We're not saying this is the way you should handle extreme events, especially if you're not used to getting into that state in the first place. You don't want to actually be learning on the job, so to speak. What we do recommend is that you take cover, you do the things you're supposed to do when such events occur. However, what you can also do is in any kind of weather event, you can use it as an opportunity, especially in its lesser forms, to practice getting into that state that we're talking about, the state that Wendy was just talking about right now, that state of being blissful, because amazing things happen, even in the most mundane weather situations, when you're in that blissful state. It can seem like you're in a storm, not a dangerous storm, not a life-threatening storm, but you're in a storm, and you get yourself in a blissful state, and all of a sudden the storm disappears. Like, where'd it go? You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm sure you've had that.
Yeah, I mean, that is the state of alignment.
Right.
Which is the state that when you are in a place of alignment with your source being, with all that is, all that you know at that point is well-being.
So from that perspective,
it didn't mean that I didn't know what the tornado rules were, which is take cover in a room with no windows, blah, blah, blah. But that did not seem to take precedence for me. What seemed to take precedence, because I asked, is there something I should be doing? So my guidance was talk to the tornado.
And the key now, that worked for you is you have developed your guidance. You've been working on your guidance. You've been learning how to use it for quite some time.
I've been developing it for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So I was able to ask that question and follow through on it.
You were in a good place to do that.
Yeah, if you're not there, take shelter.
Right.
You know, Abraham says take action based on whatever feels good to you in terms of where are you aligned.
Exactly.
If you're in a state of fear, then don't try to do something that, like, you're not aligned to. If what feels right is take shelter, then take shelter.
By all means, take shelter. Yeah. There's no need to push it. It's not like the world is going to disappear if you don't, you know, get home in the next 30 minutes. That's not the way it works. We know that, right? Everybody knows that. So, yeah, you got to do it intelligently. But on the other hand, if you are in a relatively mild weather event, one where you feel pretty confident, that's a great place to practice the bliss, trying to practice getting into that calm state, you know, where you're doing the slow, deep breathing and everything just kind of slows down a little bit. You can practice your technique, so to speak. It's a great time to do it because nobody's life is at risk. There's no real danger going on, but it gives you the opportunity to practice. So I urge people to take advantage of weather situations and learn how to get yourself into the better frame of mind. It's a great opportunity.
Well, and here in Texas, you know, it doesn't get cold that often, but it's cold right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm taking advantage of the weather by getting to pull out my big bulky sweaters that I hardly ever get to wear. I'm actually wearing socks on my feet. I hardly ever do that.
Ah, okay.
And I got to tell you, it feels really nice and cozy. And I had chili for lunch. You know, and who knows, I may have some hot chocolate later on.
There you go.
You know, and I'm enjoying the weather. There's something about certain kinds of weather call for certain kind of food, certain kind of clothes, certain kinds of activities. And around here, because, again, we don't get the cold often enough, if you go outside at night, you can smell that people have their chimneys going, you know, their fireplaces.
Sure.
And, oh, that smells so yummy.
Well, whether or not you're experiencing weather, we still want you to subscribe to the podcast. So if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please do so.
That was funny, Walt.
Thank you.
That was funny.
I like that. Go to loatoday.net. You can subscribe there. Almost every page has buttons on it. On your iPhone, you can do it through the iTunes store or through your podcast software. Just search on LOA Today. Same thing on an Android phone. Just search in Google Play for LOA Today and subscribe. And, Wendy, how do they reach you if they need a little private practice?
If somebody wants a little bit of private practice with Wendy, they can go to wendydiller.com, and you'll find all my contact information so you can connect with me personally.
Fantastic. Let's do this again tomorrow, Wendy.
You got it. I'll be here.
And we'll see you all tomorrow here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.